We seem to be continually talking about the impacts on the Australian market, and a lot of people probably unfairly align activity coming from overseas, particularly Chinese investors. But there are two top issues at the moment for Chinese property buyers in Australia that have been highlighted by the global Jiuai Network. Joining me now, a global spokesperson for that that website, Dave Platter, joins me. Oh, hi, Dave. You're obviously getting a bit of feedback about what's concerning Chinese property buyers in Australia right now. What are they?
Hey, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, at Jiuai.com, we have a customer service center up in Shanghai and talks to customers all the time. It's not just web forums, but people on the phone, on WeChat. And there's a lot of new red tape, new taxes and regulations in Australia that are confusing them and causing them to ask a lot of questions. One of those is something new is the vacancy tax proposed in a federal budget.
Okay, so they're concerned about these issues. Is there any indication, and I want to dig a little bit deeper into the two issues too, but is there any indication that these two issues are stopping them from investing in Australia?
We haven't seen that yet. We expect investment in 2017 to be lower than 2016, but 2016 was an all-time record. It was the highest amount of Chinese property investment ever seen in Australia. It was something like $32 billion of approved real estate investment. So that's the official stat from the FIRB.
Yeah.
So we expect it to be lower than that, but the first quarter was already on par with 2015's first quarter. And in its time, 2015 was a record year as well, with something like $24 billion of investment.
We
think it might be around there.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. You mentioned there about the vacancy tax proposed by the federal budget. How many Chinese buyers would that actually impact? How many are not planning to occupy?
It would hardly impact anyone as far as we can see. Most Chinese investors who are buying property for investment, just like probably most of Australian investors, they need to rent out that property in order to get the income stream. They can't just buy an investment property and leave it empty. So about one-third of Chinese investors are buying for investment, with the others buying mostly for their own occupation. So and of that one-third, it must be a minuscule percentage that would actually leave their investment property empty.
What is the second issue that's concerning them, Dave?
Another issue would be the state of the new levies proposed by New South Wales. This just came out as well in the news that New South Wales wants to slug Chinese buyers with some extra fees. And they're hoping that they might be able to somehow benefit first-time buyers from this.
Do Chinese buyers see this as a bit of an insult? Is this what they're questioning?
Well, when you're buying in another country, you expect there to be local regulations and taxes that you have to comply with, and you just have to kind of get to know what those are. So you ask a lot of questions, but on the whole, they don't take it personally, because it's not just Chinese buyers have to pay these things, it's all buyers.
So when you do your research, do you try and gauge, you obviously do because you indicated to me that you felt that investment this year was going to be lower than 2016. What is the level of investment in Australia by Chinese investors?
Well, last year, in the last financial year, it was about $32 billion. And the one before that, it was about, about $24 billion.
And this year you're projecting that it'll actually be lower than that?
I wouldn't want to put a hard number on it, but we think it'll be lower than the most recent year and closer to the prior year,
Your view now as an individual, I mean, I know you're a spokesperson for Jiuai, but do you believe that the imposts by the federal government on particularly foreign buyers is fair?
Well, if you're talking about the vacancy tax, it strikes me as a perfect example of bad policy. It's first of all, it's been tried in other places, like in Vancouver, and they just don't know how to enforce it. There's no way to find out who has left their property vacant. For example, the data that we have here in Australia, some academics did research and they decided that 50 liters a day of water usage was the minimum that the typical person would have, and therefore, if you use less than 50, the property was vacant. And most of the properties they found vacant were in the inner city. But if you think about someone living in the inner city in a small apartment, using a laundry down the hall, showering at the gym once in a while, it's easy to come in under 50 litres a day.
Yeah, I guess the same criticism could be levelled and has been in the past that those who've got large homes and leaving, you know, anything up to 60 or 70% of the home largely vacant when it could be either let out. I mean, you know, the empty room story in Australia.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know what you mean. Does everyone who, you know, has worked hard and raised their kids and seen and now living in empty nest, do they all have to take in roommates? I don't think so. I think what's driving the market right now seems to be low interest rates, so affordable loans over the long term, and just a shortage of supply compared to population growth.
I appreciate you joining us today, Dave. Dave is from the global website Dewey. I appreciate your time. Thanks, mate.
Thank you, Kevin.